The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Welcome, everybody. It's Thursday, June 19th. It's Juneteenth this morning, and happy to have you here on the show this morning. We are live this morning, as a matter of fact, and glad to have you with us on 89.7 WTBR-FM, 88.1 WSBR in Lee, and also on 1301 Access Pittsfield on your cable channel here. I have a great guest this morning, Mr. Dennis Powell, president of the Berkshire County branch of the NAACP. And Dennis and I are going to talk about Juneteenth, the story of the day, and also about the Massachusetts 54th Regiment, some stories that you might not be aware of, and some of the local celebrations of that and memorializations of that event and that regiment as well here in the city of Pittsfield and throughout the county. It's really some amazing history that we share with that. So let's get to that in just a moment. First, let's get to the weather forecast and find out what we have in store for us today.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly sunny. A chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Warmer with highs in the upper 80s. Southwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of rain 50%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Showers likely with a chance of thunderstorms in the evening. Then a chance of showers after midnight. Lows in the upper 50s. Southwest wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of rain 60%. Friday, partly sunny in the morning, then clearing. Not as warm with highs in the upper 70s. West wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 35 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Well, and it certainly does feel muggy out there this morning, and you wake up to temperatures over 70 degrees. You know it's going to be a hot day, and this won't be the hottest of it. I'm hearing that early next week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, we may be looking at our first heat wave of the year into the 90s. So if you haven't gotten those fans or air conditioners out, this is probably a good time to do so. Get them all working and plugged in. And, you know, oh boy, it's, you know, we waited so long for this, right? We had months and months of snow. I was joking about how often I had snow in the forecast here over the winter months, and then snap your fingers and here it is. It's summer. So here we are. All right. Welcome back to the show. Mr. Dennis Powell, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning.
Today?
Great. How are you?
Good, thanks. Good to have you here this morning, and thanks for coming in on Juneteenth. And we always appreciate speaking with you about all of various issues that are in the news and also historical issues. I think you and I tend to get into that a lot when you're here on the program. I enjoy that. Let's talk about Juneteenth for a moment for people that may not know the full story of why we celebrate this day and why it is called America's second Independence Day in some ways.
Well, I guess we all know, you know, based just on the great Frederick Douglass, who addressed Congress, was asked to address Congress, and the title was "What is 4th of July to the Negro?" Because really, when you think of 4th of July and Independence Day, when that was identified, we still had enslaved people.
Yeah. This was in the 1850s, right?
Exactly.
That he addressed Congress.
You know, so and interesting with Juneteenth, even after Lincoln freed, it took 6 months before the citizens, the black citizens in Galveston, Texas, found out. Mm. And it was on June 19th, 1865, that the General Gordon Granger read the proclamation from the president in Galveston, freeing all of the enslaved people in Galveston. Mm. And it was very interesting because the thing that draws my attention to the proclamation that was read, and I won't read the whole proclamation, mm-hmm. but just the ending of it where it said, the free men are advised to remain at their present homes and work for wages.
Hmm.
They are informed that they will not be allowed to collect at military posts and that they will not be supported in idleness either there or elsewhere. So I guess what they were saying, there's not going to be any welfare for you.
Yeah.
And it's also important, why was this? Because the crops had to be harvested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons why
the economy rolled on.
Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And when people, we really have to search ourselves and say that this was the reason for enslaving people.
The economy.
It was the economy.
Yeah.
It was based on money.
It was
the riches.
Yeah.
You know,
it built both the southern economy and the northern economy.
And the northern economy. Right. It was free labor.
Mm-hmm.
It was absolutely free labor. So this became very important. And when we raised the flag on Saturday at City Hall with the mayor, who also read a very nice proclamation, mm-hmm. commenced Juneteenth, it sort of just struck me that how do I negotiate for my wages from the same people that enslaved me?
Hmm.
So we know whatever they were being paid was nothing.
Yeah.
And probably just enough to keep them in place and where they were. So
I would imagine it was a major shock, not only culturally, but as you said, economically, because things had to move on. And so it was almost like creating an entire new order, right, of figuring this out. I can't even imagine what that must have been like for either side.
Right.
But certainly for recently enslaved people, like, okay, now what do I do?
And,
right?
And
how do I start that process?
Yeah, and the celebration of that by the enslaved people, because it was a shock to a lot of people in that area, some were hung. Hmm. Even during that period, because they were celebrating.
Hmm.
So, you know, the history is there for anyone who wishes to engage in it.
But it's amazing that a 2 months after the Civil War had ended, that information didn't make its way to Galveston, Texas until June 19th.
19th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, that does speak to sort of the slow process of information and the culture and things. You just, in a lot of ways, couldn't get information across the country, and that was across the country, I guess, at that point.
Well, and we know of Galveston, Texas, but we also don't know how many other areas never got the word.
Yeah. So this, in a way, is symbolic of that idea that finally freedom had been won and the information is finally widespread enough to get there.
And that's basically why we really look at that, because it really does signify our independence,
mm-hmm.
our Independence Day.
Yeah.
And my God, Frederick Douglass, after his speech, I was surprised that he was able to leave that hall alive, because it really was one of the boldest speeches and presentations that Congress probably ever heard.
Yeah. Well, and at that time, I mean, you know, we think of our times now as somewhat fraught.
Right.
You know, in the halls of Congress, it was not unusual for people to get caned or beaten.
Oh, absolutely.
For things that they said on the floor of the Senate, for example. So that's not an out there thought. I mean, it certainly could have been a dangerous thing for him to do.
And there was something in his speech that unfortunately I think we're looking at today. And that is, and I'm just going to read this short paragraph. My subject then, fellow citizens, is American slavery. I shall see this day from the slave's point of view, standing here, identified with the American bondman, making his wrongs mine. I do not hesitate to declare with all my soul that the character and conduct of this nation never looked blacker to me than on this 4th of July. Whether we turn to the declaration of the past or the professions of the present, the conduct of the nation seems equally hideous and revolting. America is false to the past, false to the present, and solemnly binds herself to be false to the future. And when we think of what is going on now with the attack on our democracy and taking away the freedoms and the treatment of human beings, immigrant human beings, it's history repeated. You know, yeah. And we look at the writings of Douglass and the writings of W.E.B. Du Bois, how did they have any idea we were going to be dealing with this today? Because their writings are like, they just wrote it.
Yeah. Well, they knew it was going to be a long road, I think. Yeah. I think they understood that. And they probably also had a pretty good grip on history and how history had been even to that point.
Yeah.
That that history does rhyme and it repeats itself in some ways. And how do you think Frederick Douglass would look at our current situation?
Oh, my God.
What would he say today?
I think he'd say the same words. Him, all the great historian, the great black leaders whose shoulders I clearly have landed on in the work that I committed to do in my lifetime, they would all be really, I mean, Dr. King would be saying, my dream has turned to a nightmare. You know, so, yeah.
But I sense that he would still be working.
Oh, absolutely.
On it, right?
Oh, I mean, they would all. And probably.
Nobody would throw up their hands and say, oh, well, I guess it's never going to be any better.
No, and I think their approach may be different. If it was today.
Yeah.
Than the approach that they took.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it may be a little different.
Well, I mean, certainly in the 60s, there were a couple of different approaches put forward. Martin Luther King Jr.
Sure.
Had his approach, and Malcolm X
had his
approach. they were not always
in sync
and in harmony, right? They didn't necessarily agree.
Right, but the beauty is, at one point, they did. Just like Du Bois and the NAACP, because they weren't always in sync, and he was one of the co-founders. You know, Douglass and Booker T. Washington, you know? So, but they understood their differences and managed to be able to find common ground where they could work together collaboratively. We don't have that today.
No. Doesn't appear to be.
We don't have that today. Yeah. And I think that's what is so unfortunate.
Dennis Powell is my guest here this morning on Juneteenth. Dennis is the president of Berkshire County branch of the NAACP, and this is Morning Drive. So, I believe it was Sunday, the celebrations of Juneteenth took place, the official celebrations, and there was a freedom walk that took place from City Hall to Durant Park. Tell us a little bit about
that.
Yeah,
and it was nice because we had enactors of the Massachusetts 54th. Hmm. They came up from Boston, three of the soldiers, one is a lieutenant.
Nice.
And I actually had him read the proclamation of 1865. Hmm. And then they led us down to Durant Park, where we started the event off with a community church service and choir under the tent. And then we had the opening of the event where we had commissioned the several artists to do a mural of the Massachusetts 54th Regiment. Through our research and with the help of Dr. Francis Jones Sneed, our local historian, we were able to discover that the greatest percentage of the Massachusetts 54th came from Berkshire County.
That's quite an astonishing statistic, right?
Absolutely.
Because most people know at least something of the story of the Massachusetts 54th. I think of the movie Glory, for example.
Sure.
Although, you know, that was 35-something years ago that movie came out. So there's probably an entire generation that hasn't seen it or, you know, hasn't been talking about it the way we did at that time. So bringing it hearing those statistics is pretty amazing.
Actually, part of what we're doing, we're going to have a free showing at the Colonial of
great.
Glory.
Awesome.
In July, so people stay tuned and look for that. So we had this artist commissioned, so we unveiled the mural, but before we, in doing that, we also passed out the names of the soldiers from the Massachusetts 54th from Berkshire County.
And overall, the regiment was about 1,000 or so soldiers from all over Massachusetts.
Absolutely.
And of that, how many were there from Berkshire County?
81.
You know, so that's pretty significant.
Right. So we were able to research some of the names. So we read, we had the participants at the park. We handed out the names to each individual.
Mm-hmm.
And we had them walk by the night, and then the mic, read the name and the town. And it was interesting. First of all, it was very electrifying.
Mm.
And then it was so interesting because it was Lee,
mm-hmm.
Lennox, Great Barrington, Stockbridge, mm. Beckett,
mm-hmm.
Dalton, Pittsfield. It was Sheffield. I mean, it was really all of Berkshire County. Mm. And, of course, Reverend Harris, Samuel Harris, mm-hmm. was the chaplain for the Massachusetts 54th Regiment.
Right.
And I also accredit him for the first advocate of fair wages, because those soldiers weren't paid.
Hmm.
Only officers were paid. So as chaplain, he was a captain. He refused to take his pay until all the soldiers were paid.
Hmm.
Well, they didn't get paid until after the war.
Was that an issue with other Union soldiers?
Right.
Or was it just the 54th that
I can't answer that.
Yeah.
But I know it was with the 54th.
Certainly, yeah.
It probably was with all black soldiers.
Mm.
But he went to Lincoln. And he was able to get their wages, and they received them retroactive.
This was Samuel Harrison did that?
Samuel Harrison did it. And Samuel Harrison, not only was he the chaplain for the Massachusetts 54th, he lived here in Pittsfield.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first pastor for the Second Congregational Church in 1865 because the First Congregational Church would not allow blacks to take communion.
Mm-hmm.
So the Second Congregational Church was created, and he was the first pastor.
I think I read somewhere also that that church was originally established basically where RJ's restaurant is now, across from the Common, which was a little historical tidbit that I didn't realize.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier about the history in our community. It's amazing that Berkshire County has such richness and rich history. It's unfortunate that we went through 12 years of schooling, never knowing anything about this history.
Yeah.
Never knowing about Elizabeth Freeman. Never knowing about W.E.B. Du Bois. Never knowing about Samuel Harrison. Mm-hmm. Never knowing about James Vanderseed. All these great individuals. Never knowing about
It
left me.
but it definitely seems like there's great history. There's a lack of, and I think maybe some of that is just formulaic, where we're issued a textbook. I remember history class, right? And you have certain things, so you're either learning U.S. history, world history, government, civics, whatever. But sometimes what's left off is the relevant things about your own area, the things that had an impact to the people. That may have, been your grandfather, your great-grandfather, someone else in your family tree and your history, or things that shaped the surroundings that you're in now.
Absolutely.
Those are things that it feels like I'm, getting up there in age myself, and I'm still learning some things about my hometown and my local surroundings just from little tidbits like that. I never knew that. Why I saw that building there and I never knew what they did there, 100 years ago or whatever. And it does have impact to the things that we do today.
We talk about getting up in age, 80 next week.
Hey, congratulations. And happy birthday, and Vance's birthday.
So in addition to the mural, Dr. Frances Jones Sneed, with her daughter and granddaughter, they created coloring books in a story form of the Massachusetts 54th. And those books are going to be given out to, I think, fifth graders.
Okay.
In the school. We gave them out at the park. And she also created a guide for the teachers to use with the students, as they color and understand the history of the 54th. And this is really, I think, great for all kids in our Pittsfield Public School to learn this history. And it's a great way to bring them into it with this coloring book, and then to have someone really explain what this book represents, and that these were residents of this community, I think, is something that we all could have benefited from if we were given our history of Berkshire County and the great people that came from here.
Yeah. So. Now, it's easy to miss that. And also, over the years, there were things I'm sure that were intentionally left out. And unfortunately, we are seeing that return as a tactic in many states. I think of Florida, for example, there have been a lot of controversies about what to include and not include in textbooks. And, that going forward is probably the most insidious thing when you're trying to, whitewash or, remap history, rewire it for people learning the next generation. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's just, you're just going to come back and have to learn that lesson again.
And when we really think about it, correct history was recorded. Because you can go to the Library of Congress and you can find it. It was just rewritten to fit certain groups.
Yeah. To fit a narrative.
A narrative. Yeah. And unfortunately, I think our country as a whole has suffered from that narrative. And continues to suffer from that narrative.
There seems to be a push to want to wipe out things that were negative, that we could look back on and say, you know what, we weren't the best. But moving forward, we got to be better. We got to do better. And that movement of saying, well, you know what, just forget that ever happened, doesn't really fly.
And to wipe out the contributions of black people.
Well, and again, I have
to America.
I had that to ask you, you know, what your thought was on that effort in the last few months under this new administration to take you know, the names of famous African Americans who contributed tremendous things to our society, and to say, you know what, we're just going to take those names off and put our, you know, favorite Confederate names on or whatever. I know there was just last week, I think they were going to rename some things. I think General Lee, for example.
Yes.
Like, really?
You know, it's what they did to the history books. It's what they did. And it was part of the systematic plan for systematic racism. It was part of that narrative to keep those who made amazing contributions less than.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I always say, if young black girls knew who was really behind the space program, those three fantastic, intelligent black women,
mm-hmm.
there'd be more going into STEM, because they would understand that that's reachable
right.
for them. You know, we had great doctors that created life-changing inventions
mm-hmm.
that, you know, plasma drew. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. Blue baby syndrome, black doctor. The fact that our produce is able to travel up and down the highway in refrigerated truck, black inventor.
Mm.
So there's so much that could have been role models, not just for black children, but for all children. These were inventors and creators, and just to be completely wiped from history.
Why do you think it is that the current administration seems fearful of those contributions and somehow wants to emphasize or de-emphasize those contributions? Why do you think that they would put all that effort into doing that?
Well, because the leader of the administration is just a racist, period. The history of his father, you know, I look at the
For everyone to give up their moral convictions and just say, no, you know, we're just going to do whatever he says.
This is the biggest puzzle to me, because these people ran in an election. They ran on democratic principles, democracy. And to give all that up and give in to an individual who cares about nothing or no one but himself. Period.
Yeah.
That's what I don't understand. How grown men can give up their own principles and their own sense of humanity and let this lead this country in the direction that it's going.
Mm. And that's where we stand today on Juneteenth.
Yeah, that's where we stand.
In 2025, anyway. We're speaking with Dennis Powell. He's the president of the Berkshire County branch of the NAACP. And we're talking about the Mass 54th Regiment and its impact on Berkshire County and actually Berkshire County's contributions to that effort, that very important effort in the Civil War, when we remember our history and know that those impacts, you know, reverberate, and we're still feeling it and hearing it today in our present society. We're coming up on our little break here that we take at the top of the hour, Dennis, so we'll do that now, and we'll come back and continue our conversation about maybe a little bit more about Samuel Harrison and also about the mural that's going to be installed. A little bit more about that in the second half. So let's go back to that break, and we'll be right back after this. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield. 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sondrini.com.
Underwriters are so important for keeping this station alive. Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. I'd like to thank our local businesses for supporting Pittsfield Community Radio and for believing in the mission of the station. When you hear underwriting messages on the air, you know those companies support WTBR-FM. If you're listening now and your business would like to join in and support us, call me today at 445-4234 and get involved, or visit us at WTBRFM.com. It will make all the difference.
Struggling with technology? Can't find reliable information online? Ready to toss your phone? PCTV is here to help. From filtering emails to making video calls, our free digital navigation services have you covered. Visit us at 4 Federico Drive, Pittsfield, or call 413-445-4234. Our friendly navigator will help you step by step, even if you don't know where to start. Brought to you by PCTV and the Alliance for Digital Equity, bridging the digital divide one connection at a time.
Hey, I'm Kyle.
And I'm Riley.
Do you like 90s alternative?
Do you like 2000s emo?
Are you tired of the same old predictable radio?
Tune in to Zennial Yearbook on WTVR. We're playing the best alternative songs from the 90s and early 2000s.
We're playing Green Day, Foo Fighters,
Blink-182, Weezer, and more My Chemical Romance than is required by law.
So tune your Walkman to 89.7 FM WTBR. Saturdays at 2 p.m. for all this and more.
It's Zennial Yearbook!
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, and watching us on Channel 1301 Access Pittsfield here in Pittsfield. And also, of course, some folks are streaming us. Some folks are watching the podcast or the video on demand later on. So we always appreciate people watching the show or listening to the show in any way that they might do that. We'll get back to our conversation with Mr. Dennis Powell in just a moment here. First, let's go to the weather forecast one more time and find out what we have in store for us today from the National Weather Service.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly sunny. A chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Warmer with highs in the upper 80s. Southwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of rain 50%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Showers likely with a chance of thunderstorms in the evening. Then a chance of showers after midnight. Lows in the upper 50s. Southwest wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of rain 60%. Friday, partly sunny in the morning, then clearing. not as warm with highs in the upper 70s. West wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 35 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yep, so a little humid, hot, stewy, I think we're going to call it out there today. We're going to get some weather, and so we'll just hunker down a little on that. I don't know about the weekend, but certainly we are seeing a heat wave in the works for the later Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I'm hearing definitely in the 90s, going to feel like it's going to be around 100. That'll be the feel like temperature. So, yep, get prepared for that now. Think about how you can get cooled down and watch out for those strenuous outdoor activities. Just make sure you're drinking a lot of water and taking care of yourself over the next few days. We'd definitely appreciate that. So Dennis Powell back again with us. Thank you again, sir, for being here this morning on Juneteenth. There is a, for people who thought that maybe all of the festivities for the day had been taken care of this past weekend in anticipation of the Thursday holiday, there is a standout, right, happening today?
Yeah, and it's a standout, I believe, by the same group that have been doing the No Kings in America standout. Mm. It's today at 4:30. It's at the corner of East and West Housatonic Street and South Street here in Pittsfield. And they say to join us as they stand for racial justice and equality on this Juneteenth celebration. Excellent. So again, that's from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Today at the corner of East and West Housatonic Street and South Street.
There you go. So another chance to show that you want to make a difference and, you know, standing out in groups of people, you know, it's undeniable that you're making a statement.
And well, and this is so important, you know, when we look at all of the standouts that have been occurring throughout all the local communities throughout this country. It's really great, and it's that action that will eventually, hopefully, bring about change.
Yeah,
people using their voices and really standing up for what they know to be right.
You're not going to make any change sitting at home.
No, for sure.
And Juneteenth, again, being increasingly recognized as a second Independence Day, I think it's fairly new to a lot of Americans that thought of it, obviously having become a federal holiday in the last few years. It's a holiday that all Americans can stand behind, and there's no reason to say that you can't celebrate America's progress at that time, and you know, along the journey that we have made, it really should be a holiday that all Americans can rejoice in. For that reason, I think of the recent conversation that our president had with the premier of Germany, where he was trying to embarrass him. I think that he was meeting with him D-Day,
D-Day,
right? The anniversary of D-Day.
Right. D-Day.
And he was saying, well, it's not a great day for you, you know, kind of making a joke of it. And the German premier came back and he said, well, you know, to be honest with you, it is a good day for our country because that was the day that our country was liberated from the fascist regime that we had, right?
Amen.
He can celebrate to that.
Yes. And unfortunately, the president had no idea what he even said.
I don't think a lot of people did. but, you know, that, I guess that my point is, you know, there are people out there that will probably think, well, this isn't a holiday for me. Right. That I don't understand why we celebrate this. I'm trying to channel that a little bit to say.
And I think they
why should people rejoice in it?
Because if you're a human being, you have to rejoice in the fact that we decided you can own many things in your life, but you should never own a human being.
Amen.
You know, that's the reason we celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason to celebrate. And each year we do get a little larger gathering when we raise the Juneteenth flag. As a community, I would like to see more. I would like to see more, because then this tells me that our community is coming together. You know, we should have had maybe not as large of a crowd that No Kings in America drew, but we should have had more of our community when we raised that flag. And celebrate, you know. Again, I'm going to the rally today. But I also feel that, again, just don't take it as a day off. Just don't take it as a holiday. Understand that this represents human freedom and justice. You know, and I like the theme of the rally. Because it is about justice and equality. And we need to be reminded of that all the time, you know.
We Americans tend to, want to commercialize our holidays, and sometimes we forget what the real meaning behind why we have a day off. We've asked for no work during these days because they're significant days.
Well, and I have been, the NAACP of Berkshire County was called hypocrites.
For what reason?
Because we celebrated 4th of July. We marched in the parade and all of that. And someone said, but at the same time, on three separate occasions, you read Douglas's speech. And they were right. And it was the executive committee of the NAACP that made the decision that we would not march anymore in the 4th of July parade. Because as Douglas said, it wasn't our independence. You know, we were still, there was still chattel slavery when the independence was written.
Is it possible to celebrate both, though? To feel that we can celebrate as Americans for the milestones that we've reached? I mean, certainly July 4th, 1776, pretty significant milestone. We would not have had Juneteenth without it. It might have been a very different country.
Yes, and I celebrate it. But I also think there has to be some, me as a person, and many thought the same, that there has to be some resistance, because the real, if we're celebrating true freedom, which was what the 4th of July was supposed to represent. And I think this was Douglas's message. How can you have the 4th of July when it doesn't include everybody? You know, and this is why I say people accept it as the holiday, but do they celebrate it in the same form as black people celebrate? Do they celebrate it in the same form as they celebrate the 4th of July? No. You know,
I wonder if it could at some point, though, grow to that point where everyone recognizes
it. This is what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
This is what I'm hoping for, that it's not just,
because that's what seems to be missing now, is the unity.
Exactly. Right?
That we're celebrating different things instead of coming together and saying, you know what, it's all, all part
and then
of the
maybe,
same pathway.
And then maybe we could do both.
Yeah.
You know. I'd like to see our Freedom Walk develop into a parade
And this was the first year that happened, right?
No, this is the... We did it last year,
second
too.
Year. Okay.
Yeah, this is our second year.
So it's a growing tradition.
It's a growing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so next year, we will be doing the same thing. We will raise the flag at City Hall, and we will have the Freedom Walk down to Durant Park. And
that's a walk that's open to everyone?
To everyone. Everyone.
You start at City Hall.
We did.
Raise the flag.
Yeah.
Proclamation.
Yeah.
And then head to Durant Park.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Speaking with Dennis Powell here this morning, if you're just joining us, this is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. We're here on the morning of Juneteenth, and we are live here in the studio. If you happen to have the day off and you're waking up in your normal routine, but you're listening to WTBR, first of all, thank you. And second of all, we have our live program for you today to talk about some very important issues nationally and locally with Dennis Powell. I understand that you were honored this year by MCLA. With a Doctor of Public Service, so congratulations on that. What was that experience like?
It was life-changing. Because you know what it meant to me? With all the eraser that goes on our history, it means I was finally seen.
Yeah.
To receive that honor, and of course... in the company of Trish Farley Bouvier and Dr. Mankus, who I really adore.
You're in good company there.
As a superintendent of schools, I just think she was just... Sorry to see her retiring, but
well-deserved,
she deserves
though.
It. Yeah. You know, we can't keep people forever.
No, Pittsfield couldn't keep her either, but North Adams was lucky to have her, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and I followed her, and I just have so much respect for her and her work that I was in good company. But it really said to me that... I mean, I was that young man who was told by his guidance counselor at Pittsfield High School, you're never going to amount to anything. Mm. Your parents can't afford to send you to college. You should just take shop or whatever and just get along. And in my lifetime, of course, I didn't listen to him. He was not guiding me.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a good decision.
The guidance came. Really, from my grandmother, who told me that once I made up my mind what I wanted to do, to know that I needed to know it three times greater than was required if I was going to see any level of success. And her words have guided me and have been real to me. Ever since, and I look at my life.
Gotta listen to your grandmother.
Huh?
You gotta listen to your grandmother.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think this is, so many kids don't have grandparents. You know, I look at my grandchildren, and I'm just grateful that I'm here for them, you know, and you really set the example. And to receive that honor and have my grandchildren there present was really amazing for me, and I was very humbled by it because I made up my mind to do the work, but you never know who's watching and taking score. And so to be recognized like that, it was truly.
Yeah. Well, again, well-deserved,
and
congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. And let's turn back to the 54th again and the mural. So the mural installation, this was revealed, right, on Sunday.
And we're going to have the installation early in July. And we're also going to be showing the film Glory. At the Colonial. They worked it out with us. And we invite everyone who hasn't seen that to come free of charge. Mm-hmm. And when we, so we're going to, the mural is going to be a permanent fixture in Durant Park.
Is this going to be freestanding, or is this going to be on a building?
It's going to be freestanding along one of the fences in Durant Park.
Okay.
We thought of putting it up on top of the pavilion that Greylock Credit Union built, but we're afraid of the wind and everything else, and so we're trying to put it. And we also want to create a historical, making that the history of the West Side. So besides the mural and putting all the names on plaques of the soldiers of the 54th, we're also going to create a like a map of the West Side, which was all immigrant families, and have those families listed and their addresses. And this is a twofold project, because one, it identifies what the West Side was and what urban renewal destroyed.
Yeah, I was going to say, some of those addresses don't exist anymore, right?
Absolutely.
The buildings are gone.
And this is what we want to show.
Yeah.
We want to show how it was markets and stores and businesses were destroyed. The Gathering was a West Side community of all immigrants meeting in Pitt Park at the time. Which I'm glad that name was changed, because General Pitt was not a nice man who it was named after.
A lot was named after him.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yes.
Including our city.
City.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, it's interesting. I love to dive into local history, because these things come alive when we talk about that.
And speaking of today, I believe today that Cape Coast in Ghana is going to become a sister city.
I did hear that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great.
They're actually doing the signing today in City Hall. So, again, a great piece of history.
And there will be, I'm sure, a cultural interchange between those two.
We wanted to do it at the Juneteenth, but there was no way to have Wi-Fi where we could include. And, of course, with the time change between Ghana and here.
Right.
It just couldn't happen. Hmm. So it is happening, I believe, today at City Hall, where Pittsfield is going to become a sister city of Cape Coast in Ghana. And Cape Coast was where the slaves were taken from and brought.
And Pittsfield continues to have an immigrant community from Ghana as well.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
A growing community.
Growing community, yes.
Yep. Yes. Just as a matter of fact, ran into someone the other day who we chatted up a little bit about WTBR radio, and he had told me that he had had some radio and broadcast experience in his home country. I said, "Where was that?" And he said, "Ghana."
Yes.
And I said, "Well, then you should come here and make a radio program."
Was that Dr. Emmanuel Bio?
No.
Oh, okay. Because I know he's done everything.
Yeah, but, you know, certainly we welcome that, right?
Sure.
That's what a community radio station can do, is to give voices to folks that, you know, maybe feel isolated in a new community, but you realize that you're not.
And you really do. I really have to say, as far as a community radio, you guys just do a fantastic job.
Well, thank you.
In informing and bringing people in and allowing their voices to be heard. And so.
Thank you. Well, it's a big community, and we've only scratched the surface.
I mean, our events, like our Freedom Fund event, would not be the success that it is if the coverage that you enable us to bring it out to people who can't attend in person by being able to see it live, and and we've gotten great comments on that.
Great. So. And, of course, we're a few months after this past year's event, but how did it go this year for the Freedom Fund Awards and the fundraising
fantastic.
You do around it?
It was just the energy in that room. You were there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just different from, I think, any of the Freedom Funds that we had. And I don't know whether it was because of what was going on around us in our nation.
Mm-hmm.
But the people in that room, the way everybody came together and the energy that was in that room and just the speeches. And, of course, we gave great awards mm-hmm. out. You know, Greylock Credit Union got our Allyship Award. Mm. For the work that they really do in our community. You know, they just don't talk the talk, they walk the walk.
Yeah.
And this is so important. And
and of course, the Freedom Fund itself is a mechanism by which you can support students going to
absolutely.
On to
matter of fact, I
education.
Forgot that was part of our Juneteenth celebration. We gave awards out to 26 students that are pursuing furthering their education, either going to a 4-2 or a trade school.
Mm-hmm.
And 4-year school, we gave $1,000 for the first 2 years. Of their education, and we give it in the form of a stipend, mm-hmm. so that they are able to use it as needed, and it doesn't affect any financial aid that they may
and as
be
we've
receiving.
Talked about, so important, to give them a little boost, a leg up. There's a lot of incidental costs that go into making your education a success, whether that's college or trade school, whatever. There are real costs involved with that, and if for some reason you can't meet those, the whole thing could fall apart like a house of cards, right? You got to keep that support going, and so it's one more way that that the support is there.
And we continue supporting them through their 4 years. You know, there are students that end up coming to us. We've had to provide additional financial support because they got right to the end and couldn't finish because they didn't have the funds. So,
and how important is it that young students of color continue to look to education for their futures?
Well, and one of the reasons we do it on Juneteenth, because nothing speaks of freedom more than education.
The words of Frederick Douglass at the time,
yes.
a very educated
yes.
man at
yes.
a time when that was very difficult
yes.
to achieve.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And when we look at all of the people whose shoulders we stand on, they all receive those educations in very difficult times. Not like today, you know, where it's there for us.
Yeah. Although higher education is coming under attack as well.
Again.
At all levels.
At all levels. And again, it's because this is a revengeful man.
Hmm.
He couldn't get into Harvard. Matter of fact.
Neither could his son, apparently.
Exactly. And because of that, Harvard's under attack.
Mm.
This man is revengeful.
Yeah.
You just look at the states that he's attacking. They're all the states that didn't vote for him. This is a revengeful man. And
some of that's coming from the Supreme Court, too.
Yeah.
You know, the affirmative action rulings that they've had. And it is a very difficult time. For all of higher education,
yes,
as it is for freedom of the press, if I'm carrying a sign somewhere, I'm going to be supporting freedom of the press and the Fourth Estate.
Yeah,
those are my values because I think a lot of the other values rest on top of those. So I'll scream that from the rooftops whenever I can. But it's holding on to the values, I think, right? And this is kind of what we can agree on here this morning before they get wiped off the board.
Well, and it's holding on to our freedoms.
Yeah.
That's what's under attack.
Yep.
That is really, you know, all of our freedoms. The four freedoms.
Yes, right.
He doesn't even, it's not even part of his vocabulary or whatever. I mean, all of this is under attack.
Yeah.
And human rights are under attack. And you can't have, you know, Eleanor knew that you couldn't have the freedoms without rights.
Yeah. And Dennis Powell, I think we're going to have to leave it there.
Okay.
On a day that represents freedom, I think we'll leave it on that word.
Excellent.
Dennis
Excellent.
Powell.
Thank you very much.
From the NAACP Berkshire Branch. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Sean. It was really great.
We'll talk to you again.
Take care.
All right. Take care, everybody. Enjoy the day, and we will see you again tomorrow morning. Take care.
Great.